day the Lord hath made. Rejoice, rejoice, and be glad in it.
I know there is a Bible
every day.
The message, that's what I'm
thinking about. Lord Jesus,
I'm thinking about getting a copy.
Where you brought us from, or where you're taking us to, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you love us enough not to leave us where we are, but you're taking us to new levels every day. Lord Jesus, we desire to worship them in spirit and in truth this day. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Those in my soul.
Father, I just know that feeling that we have, Lord, when we first come to you, Father. It's so exciting because you have this revelation of your past is gone, and the Lord forgives you, and the Lord loves you. And there is a way to move on. And Father, that excitement, that joy, and that love, Father, I pray that that never grows cold. Help us to always be singing your praise, Father. Help this world not to pull us down, Lord God, but help us to always focus on you, Father. we act like little kids, Lord God. We have tantrums, and Lord, sometimes we just stink, Father. But I know that anyone here that has little kids, Lord, it doesn't mean that when they have tantrums, we just walk away from them. Father, we still love them. You are the most loving Father. You are our Creator. Father, help us to know and understand that we might have our bad days, but you love us so much, Lord God, that you can love us into submission, Lord, and love us into change, Father. You don't say, you either love me or I'm walking away from you. You say, I want you to have the fullness. I want you to see what I have for you. You're my child, and I care about you. Father, help us to understand that, Lord. Help us to move past our mistakes, Father, because once we ask for that forgiveness, Father, you move past it. You forget it. You let it go. Help us to, Lord.
Thank you.
Father, teach us, Lord God. Father, help us just to be on this earth for as long as you want us here, Lord. I find myself just being tossed around, Lord God, by emotions and by circumstances and just irritations, Lord God, my flesh taking over. Father, help us to overcome that here on earth, Lord God, so we can just lead others, Lord, and just help us, just heal us, Lord God. Create us to be new, Father, and until our last breath, Lord God, help us to cry out your name and know that we can't do it by ourselves, Father, because without you we're nothing, Lord God. But with you, we are everything in you, Father. I pray that you teach us today, that you lead us today, Lord.
The Holy Spirit just ministers to us. Amen. You guys don't want to hear me sing, do you?
No.
Yes, no. All right. Well, we've got a few things this morning, a few announcements to go over really quickly. And so before we start, hey, there are loaves of bread. We do have some Panera bread back there. So there's a bunch of bagels, a bunch of fresh bread. It's all for you free in Jesus' name. Feel free to take it. And so go ahead and grab it. Also, The Case for Christ is playing. Somebody texted me last night that it's playing in the Dollar Theater over at the Parkway at University. And so if you'd like to go see that, that'd be great. Also, we've got a license to go see it. We're going to actually show it here in July, probably on a Thursday night. And so we'll bring more details in the next couple weeks, but we want to let you know that that's coming up. And so that's going to be here probably, like I said, on a Thursday. And it'd be a good time to invite your friends. And we'll be doing that in July. I don't know the exact date yet. What'd you say? Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. So it's going to be tonight. Okay, so we've got a few things to go over. Somebody was asking me, Paul and Marcia Cowley, the missionaries that are training in the slums of Africa, when are they coming? They're coming Sunday, June 25th. And then we're going to have a little cookout here afterwards. And it's always a great time. He usually brings a good, strong word for us. And I just love it when he comes. He's just got the joy of the Lord, but also the peace of God that just flows from him. And so that should be a great time. If you keep him in your prayers. Also, if anyone is interested, we want to just make you aware, we're going to be doing a Footsteps of the Apostle Paul tour. And so that's a pretty big thing. And so if anyone is interested in going to that, I'll be saying it for the next, since we don't have a lot of people here today, I'll be saying that for the next few weeks at least. And so I've been to Israel on three different tours, and it's a fantastic time. They say that's like having at least like 2 years of Bible college. And I'll tell you, it's wonderful. And so after talking with my wife and getting a surprise for my 50th birthday party.
Big 5-0. My 50th birthday party.
Anyway, what did numbers mean anyway? So, for my 50th birthday party, so what she's doing is, I need
what
to do it. My 50th. Okay. Time
for the 50th.
So, we're going to go on the Footsteps of the Apostle tour. We're going to go to, like, to Greece, to where Paul preached on Mars Hill. And I think this is, if I remember correctly, this is Ephesus. Laodicea, the Isle of Malta, that you read about in Acts, where Paul shipwrecked. And so just pray about it, and if the Lord tugs your heart, it's going to be probably a 10 to 14 day trip. It's going to be a teaching trip. And so, I mean, there'll be time to relax, okay? But it's not going to be like you're going to be sipping on lemonades, just laying out all day. This is you're going to be going, you're going to be doing hiking, you're going to go to archaeological sites, you're going to have Bible teachings, and so...
There will be a test
at the end. That's right. Yes, there will be a test. I'm going to guess. I don't know the exact numbers because it depends on exactly when we go and how many go. It's a lot. It's going to be probably about 4,000 to 5,000 to go. But it will be a trip of a lifetime. So I'm just mentioning it now so you have a year to plan. And so if anyone's interested, I also want to take my family, so that I can twitch, my eyes twitching. But I want my kids to experience that. And so we're going to be really saving up. And so, but if you're at all interested, it's going to be a trip of a lifetime. Actually, technically, was it August 12th? Am I 50? I forget. I don't know those things. Is that right? Okay, fantastic. Is it this year, though? Yeah, it's not next year, though. Thank you so much. Where are my supporters? Why are they not here? I have the hecklers. Anywho, so I thought it, instead of just spending time, we'd like to invite you along. If anyone likes to go, if you feel like a little tug in your heart, just start praying about it. And if you really want to go, then just pray and God will provide. Yes?
Do you have a ballpark figure of when this
You know what? It really does depend on next year. I don't, because it depends on if we do a trip ourselves, or I was talking with Dave Gooden's people, from, you know who he is, or maybe us going together. He's a Bible teacher in California. So I'm just not sure yet. So I just want to, so I'm just going to bring it out there. You can pray about it if you're, anyone's interested. You'd be welcome to come along. Okay. So you guys know we're into equipping the saints for the work in the ministry. We got the Loner Library back there. We got sermons online. You guys already know about that. We're also, there was a few who didn't get some of these books. And so if anyone didn't get A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, who wants one? We ran out the last time a couple of days ago. Okay, we want to give... Hey, honey, can you go back and give that? Oh, there's a couple back there, actually. Back there. Anybody else want A Shepherd's Look? Yes. Oh, so we're here. Fantastic. Love it.
I want the red light. Sorry about that.
Here. Would you like one, too?
Go right there.
All right, anybody else? This is probably one of my favorite books. It's probably in my top 10, top 20 favorite books. And I love it. And so it's just from somebody who grew up in the Middle East and as a shepherd, raising animals, and just how he looks at Psalm 23. It brings it to light in a whole new way. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Also, Mary had mentioned this, How Good is Good Enough. And so if anybody wants a copy of that, it's a little book by Andy Stanley, just basing You Can't Be Good Enough. It's by grace that you are saved, by faith, not by works, lest anyone boast. If anybody would like a copy of that, let me know, and I'll give that to you as well. Okay, I also know we've got prayer Sunday morning. Here at 9:30, and then Tuesday we're having the men's. No.
No, it's the fifth Tuesday.
It is.
Yes.
So we have nothing. So really, we're just gonna. I'm just gonna be watching TV. And is that what you're saying? You'd be able to relax.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh.
Okay. See? No, I was thinking a honey-do
list. Oh, I had a night off. Okay, so we don't have men's Bible study. Boy, that's going to be weird. Okay, all right, so, and so where's, is Neely and Josh here? Josh, you're here. Yeah. Okay, also, Josh and Amanda, Neely, you ought to get with, I know you made this slide with the whosoevers, and I know they just changed it to the Transformers, and you made this cool little logo and slide. You ought to get with them. Could you make us a new slide? Since we're not technically the whosoevers, the youth group anymore, we're now the Transformers, we need to get with Josh. Okay. But anyway, that's going to be this Wednesday. Yes, that's this Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, 6:30 to 8:30 for pizza and fellowship. And then also Thursday's barbecue and Bible study night. So that's 6 to 8 p.m. Okay. Continue to pray for the school, if you would. You know, even just thinking for next year, continue to pray for Shirley with her broken ankle. Tom's sick as well. We've got a lot of people sick and injured, and so... just pray too. We're already actually full already for next year, so we just don't know what God's going to do, but we just need another building and we need more favor from the county, so just continue to pray because God's really doing the work in that ministry. So, okay, Sherry Brower. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Would you like to come on up? I'll give you your microphone. That'll be fun.
Sure.
I think I'll give you a microphone. Oh, you're amazing.
You too.
I'm doing well, so nice to see you. Thanks.
How's Frank?
Oh, good.
Okay. Your wife. I'm thinking of you and Lisa have really been on my heart. And so I'm here for that you've mentioned, but I just really just want to pray for you guys this time.
Okay.
But you've been on my heart, and I know that being in ministry is very, very difficult, and I really feel like the Lord has something coming. So I want to pray for you guys, but I need to touch you guys, so please come up here.
Sure. We're very touchable people.
Yeah. And I'm not, so that's
yeah.
I know. I was going to say, so you know this is about the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How about we just pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of being just able to come before your throne at any time. Lord, I bow to you. I worship you. I lift up your holy name. Lord, I pray for Darren and Lisa. I pray that they will not be weary in well doing. I pray that you show them favor. Lord, there are so many things, even in the body, and so, Lord, I just pray that you would. Lord, I just pray that this body would help them, guide them, direct them. Lord, let your will be done. I pray for things that would come against them, that you have the victory. Lord, I pray that you give us here today spiritual eyes so we see the battle around us. Lord, send ministering angels and help those in the body to see the labor that is necessary just for Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Now you know to pray all the more. That's happening. I'm just thinking to myself, what is going on? So pray all the more. It's a funny day. So pray all the more.
Now what happens?
Yeah, in fact, you were so on my mind that I think I left the curling iron on. So, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm actually here for the young people today because these guys are going to come up here.
Come on.
Yes, you are. I think he meant yes, ma'am. Very bad. Okay. They are your summer missionaries. And they will be ministering to children in Sarasota, Manatee County. And they've been working hard because Miss Brower doesn't play, do I? I really expect you to do the work, don't I? So they've been studying and studying to show yourselves approved, right? And they're going to go away for a week for some training at Johnson University. And so they go from early in the morning till late in the evening. And it's intense, and so we need to pray for them. And we already have some open doors where we're coming for... they're called five-day clubs. It's like BBS, and they'll be sharing. They're in charge. They'll be sharing the gospel. They'll be sharing missionary story. They'll be equipped to lead a child to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just praying them off today as we would any other missionary. And then we ask for you to pray because right now we are in kind of a battle. I would really like to see clubs in the YMCA. It's funny because it stands for Young Men Christian Athletes, and it's such a challenge to get in there and to share the gospel. And so, you know, our goal is every child, every nation, every day. And so this is our Judea, Samaria, and this is where God called us. So if you want to, I'd like you to come forward and just lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for them. And they are leaving this, you guys leave on the 11th, right? Yes, because I leave on Sunday, so you come up the next week. So if you guys come down here where you're a little shorter, we'll just lay hands on them.
I'm already short.
Okay, Evelyn, you can stay up.
Hi.
Father, I just want to say thank you for these young men and women who are going to be doing your work. They're giving up their summer for missions, Lord God, to train, Lord God, just to seek your face, Lord, to be equipped for the work of the ministry, Lord. I just thank you for their example, Lord. I pray that you'd work in their hearts and minds. I pray that you'd work in their lips and their eyes, Lord, as those that they touch, they come into contact with, Lord God, that they wouldn't be taken lightly, that you've given them the words of eternal life, Lord God, and that they are be presenting them to other families, to other children, Lord God. I pray that you would give them your vision your sight for these kids, Lord, your eyes. They wouldn't be reacting to their words or whatever. They'd be just seeing them as you see them, Lord, as kids who need Jesus Christ, the kids who need to be saved, Lord, the love of Jesus Christ to pour over them, Lord. I pray a blessing over each one of them, Lord God, over Elijah in Jesus' name, and Hezekiah and Joe and Azdeline, Lord God. And there's another rapper Joe. I think he's also, then Hannah as well, Lord. I don't see her here today, Lord, but also for Hannah, Lord, who's going as well, Lord. And I pray for your blessing, that you would lead them and do mighty works through them, Lord, for your glory, Lord. And so I thank you for them. I thank you for a church that wants to come around them and pray your blessing on them, Lord God. So hear the prayers of your people, Lord. Hear the cries of the hearts, even now, Lord God. And use them in a mighty way, far beyond what we ever could have even envisioned ourselves. And we ask this in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Okay, you got it. Okay. Well, I don't know what's going on with the sound, but that's bugging me. So if anybody can help with that, that'd be super duper. While we go through the Bible verse by verse, we are in the book of Romans. You want to grab your Bibles? Hey, Elijah and Joe, would you grab some Bibles? If anybody needs a Bible, just raise your hand, and one of the youth will bring one right to you. We are in Romans chapter 15. Last week you had two Bible studies in one, Mark chapter 10, verse 16 to 27, where we were talking about the young ruler who came to Jesus. And then also we finished up Romans 14. And in Romans chapter 14, as I get there myself, just a second. In Romans chapter 14, we were talking about the weaker and the stronger brothers. And we talked about how, you know, there's a lot of fights and things like that in the ministry and amongst brothers and sisters. And he's talking about it. He talked about accepting those whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters, on things that don't really aren't clear in the Bible, those gray areas of scriptures. Don't be so quick to judge. You know, St. Augustine said it, in essentials unity and non-essentials liberty, and in all things there should be charity and love. And so we need to be able to find common ground on areas that aren't, you know, like about salvation or that are clear in Scripture. We don't need to be fighting over Christian radio or piercings or dress codes or Bible versions. These are all silly things. These are distractions to us to keep our eyes off the main goal, which is Jesus Christ, making him known. It also keeps us divided, isn't it? You know, I heard that, I don't even know how many churches there are. Hundreds of thousands of churches and so many denominations. And instead of rejoicing over the different ways that God ministers to people, you know, we're looking down and judging. They should all be doing it the same way. Well, we're not all cookie-cutter people, are we? Do you look at the disciples? Are they all the exact same? Not at all. And neither are we. And so we talked about being crucified with Christ. And how we no longer live, but Christ lives within us. And so we live to please our brothers. We don't have to be looking down on them or judging them, whether we're the weak or the strong brother. And we talked about, as we finished up Romans chapter 14, about stumbling blocks. And we talked about that, you know, in those last verses, 12 to 23. Are you a stumbling block for others in their relationship with Christ, or are you a stepping stone for others? And it's really a choice that you made. And in 14, you know, back in those days, they were talking about what days were important. If you were really spiritual, you'd celebrate these days, and you know, or you'd eat this food, and all that stuff was just a shadow of things to come. The reality is found in Jesus Christ. But we don't want to be a stumbling block for our weaker brothers. And so we took you to Capernaum, where Jesus, we showed you the millstone, where Jesus said, I'm going to give you a picture of it, that he said, if anyone has a heavy stone object that would crush the grain, as the donkey would go around, it would crush that grain. That millstone is so heavy. And Jesus said this about causing your brothers to stumble. He said, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them, better, to have one of those large millstones hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. To me, that's a good word. That's a strong word. So we don't want to cause our brothers and sisters to stumble. We know that food doesn't bring us closer to God. Okay? We're no worse if we do eat, and we're no better if we do. But be careful that the exercise of your rights doesn't become a stumbling block for the weak. Okay? We talked about knowledge puffing up, but love building up. And that's the goal of our lives in Christ. We're to be building up others. Like 1 Thessalonians says, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing. You know? And so we can live at peace with everyone. Instead of using that knowledge, you ever notice when people get more knowledgeable in the scriptures, either they're young and zealous, and they get really judgy at everybody, or they get old and kind of curmudgeon-y, you know, like they know a lot, you know what I mean? We know this now, and I'm going to tell all you how to live your lives. And it's just sad. God wants us to be using this knowledge we have to love others and to build others up. And so we come to Romans chapter 15, 1 to 7, which is like a continuation of that same train of thought. You know, it ended in 14 where Paul was saying, you know, it's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that would cause your brother to stumble. You know, so on these disputable matters, he said, you know, whatever you believe about those things, these disputable matters, keep them between yourself and God. And this was the last verse we left off in as we closed Romans 14. He says, be careful that the exercise, we have freedom in Christ, but he says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you're sinning against Christ. So if you have freedom in Christ and you can have whatever, you don't need to talk somebody into doing something that their conscience is telling them they're not ready for or that they shouldn't do. And so when I think about that, I want to be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. You know, verse 1 of chapter 15 says this. He says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, I love how Paul is saying this. The first thing he says is, we who are strong. So, who is he speaking to? Who's the we? Okay, what else? Who's we?
Disciples.
What? Sorry, I can't hear you.
Disciples.
The disciples, okay. So is anybody here a disciple of Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay, now let me ask you a question. When he says this, we who are strong, okay, I think most people here are thinking, well, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm one of the strong ones in Christ. Right? Okay, so he's talking to you, sister. He's talking to you, brother. Okay? We who are strong, that means you and me, ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Now, when I think of that, when I first read it, it sounded to me like this. Okay, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. So this is what came to my mind. Okay, so I'm going to use you because you're going to go and they won't be mad at you when you leave. Okay, so Hanako, I'm just going to bear with Hanako. She's here today. You know, she's just, I don't know, there's something about her. She's always just jabber, jabber, jabber. I'll bear with her, Lord, when I go to church. And Eddie, you know, Lord, I know he's my brother in Christ, but he just grates on my nerves. Every time I walk in the building, I'll bear with him. You know what I mean? It's like we have that kind of attitude, right? That's what I thought it was saying when I first read it. We're going to bear with our brother. You know that brother that just kind of grates on you, that sister who just annoys you, you know, or whatever? You know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not what it's talking about. That's not what that word means. When it says to bear the failings of the weak, that word bear, my old eyes, that word hey! That is super helpful. And I'm getting super old.
All right, that's not
I'm young at heart, anyway. But that word basically in Greek is bastizo, and that basically means to take up and carry a weight. So what it's saying there isn't like, well, I'm just going to grin and bear it and take it. I'll go to church, but I'm just not going to talk to her, you know, or I'm just going to put up with his, you know, whatever. It's not that. It literally means, bastazo means to literally pick up and to carry a weight. So when it says we who are strong, and everybody in here, we're believers in Jesus Christ. And okay, so if you're strong, you ought to pick up and carry the failings of the weaker ones around you. Does that make sense? It's almost, I don't know how many of you guys have heard of this is an older group, so maybe, you know, I'm not cool anymore, but how many have heard of the monkeys? Okay.
You guys remember that name?
The monkeys? Okay. Well, anyway, for those of you who don't know this cool, amazing band, okay, so whatever, you've got some, this is David Jones, he just died, I was going to say. You got Mickey, you got Peter, you got David Nesbitt, Mike Nesmith up there, and they wrote a lot of songs. Yes?
Why did they have Latin down with us?
Yeah, you'll have to ask them why they do that. But the Monkees were a band, and they wrote, remember that song, Day Dream Reliever? Well, whatever, they didn't write it, they sung it, whatever. Oh, tough crap. Well, anyway, they also wrote a song called I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. Anybody remember that one? I'm not your stepping stone. No! Anyway. So, but basically, as a stronger believer, it's not that you're just going to put up with your brother and sister. See, if that's your attitude when you're coming in here, well, I'm just going to, I'll go, but if I have to listen to them one more time, or I have to be around them, I don't want to sit by them. Honestly, it's more likely you're the weaker brother or sister. The stronger brother or sister says, you know, I'm gonna carry the weight of the week. Okay, maybe they do sit and talk with you every time for 10 minutes. But they are precious in God's sight. Maybe they don't have anyone else to talk to. You know, maybe they are a little bit short. Maybe they haven't grown in that area. Right? Well, but Pastor Darren, you don't understand. She's older and she should know better. Listen, I just think of Linda. She's one of the ones on vacation. You know, she usually sits here. You know, she's been saved just for a few years. So some of you younger ones in Christ are actually more mature spiritually than her, even though she's much older. Also, some have some heavy baggage. You don't know what's going on in your brothers and sisters' life all the time, right? They might have things that are breaking their hearts or baggage you have no idea with because they don't tell you. So if you're the strong brother, don't be, this is what the world will say, I'm not your stepping stone. And unfortunately, this is what a lot in the Christian church will say too. I'm not going to be your stepping stone. They're not going to talk to you. I'm not going to, blah, 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 blah. It's all, you're making it about you instead of about him and about others. See, here's the bottom line. It's kind of a, maybe it's a weak illustration, I don't know. But if you're strong in the Lord, you're to lift them up. You are their stepping stone. You're to bear their weight of their baggage. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're the strong one, you're to bear that weight. You are their stepping stone. And they're going to learn at your expense. That happens. I remember, you know, working, I owned a computer company for many years. And I had a bunch of Christians that worked for me, and they were flaky. I hate to say it, but that's just the truth. And I was very frustrated. And so there was one more guy who wanted to come work for me, another guy. His name was Chris. And I thought, oh, no, man. I was a believer. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you're going to send another Christian. They're going to learn at my expense. And it's gonna, I'm going to invest in them. And they're going to end up doing whatever. So I had a really bad attitude about it, just be blunt honest. Okay, bad attitude. wasn't the strong, mature believer. It'll be a few minutes, okay? And so, you know, in fact, for the first, I hate to say this, I'm embarrassed to say this, was many years ago, but for the first few weeks, I didn't even bother to talk to him. I just said, I had someone else, you train him. I'm not even going to invest in him because he's just going to flake out on me like all the rest, and so whatever, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, after a while, you know, he really showed himself faithful. He was honest. He was diligent. He worked hard. And I thought, oh, man, God, thank you. Thank you for that person. And actually, he really became to be a good friend and a godly man. He actually started a church down in Osprey. You know, but for me, I was being the weak brother because I was like, well, I don't need to take any more of this. I don't even need to spend time with them. I don't need to. That was a bad attitude. I thought I was being the strong, mature one, but actually I was being the weak one. Yes, I got a couple of hands. Yes.
I was going to say, there's an old song. I don't remember how it goes exactly, but it says, he ain't heavy, he's my brother.
Yeah.
You know that song?
Yeah.
And that's cool because it talks about how much he loves his brother. He was carrying him, but because of the fact that he loved him, he didn't feel the weight. And that's maybe another
good example.
Yes. You know, I think of, you know, Cain and Abel, you know, when God was talking to him, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah. You know, I gave the example last week. I didn't want to respond to somebody. They were chewing me out over this and that. I didn't want to respond nicely, but okay, so do I take them by the stronger brother and just be kind, loving, patient? Or do I nail him to the wall? See, that's my flesh, right? That's my flesh. But the Spirit says no. You be the stronger brother. You be patient. You be kind in how you respond. The same word that's used in that Romans 15, that same word, you know, we who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak, bestezo. It's the same word that is used in John 19 for Jesus as he was bearing the weight of the cross, as he was carrying that weight. As it says, and he carrying his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. And what did he bear on that cross for you? The sin. All of your sin. And let me tell you, Dave, you got a lot. So do you, Lord. So do you, Sue. We got a lot of sin. He carried that for us. You know? The picture in Galatians 6:2 says, for us, you and me, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is what he says. I want you to carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. I want you to help carry your brother. So, in your sister, and in the areas that they're weak, I want you to help them. Just to encourage them. I want you to be patient with them. I want you to be loving with them. That's the heart that he wants us to have. It's almost like this. How many of you guys have been on a camping trip or a hiking trip?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you guys know. So you guys know what I'm talking about. Usually there's a group that goes, right? You've got to hike up to a certain spot, right? And there's usually somebody. Now I have teenagers. I make them carry myself. But anyway. But there's a group that goes, and maybe some of the people can't hike up the mountain to get to the campsite. They can't carry everything, right? Now, you all got to get there, don't you? Right? You all are going. You're all together as a team. But some of the stronger people will stop and carry some of the backpacks, some of the weight of some of the weaker ones. That's the heart that we need to have. And we need to have it for Jesus Christ. Because, honestly, at the time, they might not even receive it. It might be more of a hassle for you being patient, loving, and kind. A lot of times, it's not received in the heart it's intended because they're immature. But you do it for Christ's sake. You carry one another's burdens. That's that same exact word that's in Romans 15:1. Yes, Elijah, you raise your hand. No. Okay, that's a great question. His question was, we didn't have the mic. Thank you for running that over. So the question was, does that mean you have to take the burden the whole time without correcting them? And that's a fantastic question. And I'm going to answer that in just a couple minutes. Okay? I forget what my next slide is. But, and some people will be like, well, why do I got to carry their burdens, right? They got their own Lord. I don't need to do anything. Well, Jesus was our shepherd, and he carried us, okay? There have been many times when you have been carried by the Lord, when you've been acting like a little brat, right? Yes, you too, Mama Weave.
Amen. First one here.
This is what Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, and listen to this. It says this. This is Jesus, our Lord. And this is our example. It says he tends his flock like a shepherd. This is his heart. This is our example. When it says tends, that means to tend means to feed. It means to take care of, to love on. Not just, you know, give food and water, but also compassion and love and kindness and to get the little bugs off of them, you know, the pests away from them. It means to take care of them. That's our shepherd. He tends his flock like a shepherd. And believe it or not, Jim, you're a shepherd to somebody. You are a shepherdess to some people. You are a shepherd around and a shepherdess to people around you. And Jesus says, I want you to follow my example. He says, I want you to tend the flock like a shepherd. He says he gathers the lambs in his arms. He's proactive. You know what I'm saying? He goes out and tries to bind up the wounds, whether it's received or not. He goes out and tries to care for them, tries to pray for them, tries to bring them in, tries to give them compassion, tries to do those things. He gathers the lamb in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. That's our Lord. He wants you right by the heart. He wants you to feel the love of Christ coming from you. He's given you his love. He's shown you the extent. He's imparted his supernatural love to you. In the flesh, you can't do it, right? Because the weak brothers and sisters are either overly zealous or they're, you know, immature and they're doing all this. You have to be patient with them, right? But he carries them close to his heart and he gently leads those that are young, right? Let me tell you, it's almost like when people read the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of God's Holy Spirit working in your life, right? If you're saved, this is the fruit of it. This is what I feel like it's in the Christian churches today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Now, what did I forget?
Gentleness.
That is a fruit of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. That's just not how I am, Pastor. Well, believe me, that's not how I am. Oh, there's a whole bunch of scriptures there, but I'm just going to keep going. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. And it says this. It says, gently leads those that have young. Some of your translations say those that are young. That's how he wants us to lead them. Now, they might still go their own way. They might still rebel against you. If you have kids, you have teens, you know. Even if they're awesome kids, sometimes they're bratty. You can do the exact right things, and they're still being a little brat. I don't want to point fingers, but just a couple go. Anyway. And so can we, though, right? But that's how we're to deal with those around us. So he says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Listen, everyone is looking for their own interests. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be bothered. I hope I don't have to sit next to this person. I hope I don't have to listen to them singing. I hope Amy doesn't sing the same songs again. I hope Pastor Darren doesn't repeat the same script. I hope. Listen. I saw this. It's a neat little backpack. Isn't it? These guys are going out carrying those kids. Can you see that? Isn't that a neat little device? Isn't that cool? It is cool, unless you're that guy with the big heavy kid. And you're thinking, back! But Philippians 2:4 says, I want you, Christian, Jesus, I want, let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And it's not the pastor's job or the worship leader's job or the... It's all of our jobs. You know? Wait, you want to say something?
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
We know that the,
So-so's going to bring you the mic.
This actually
so we
brings
hear.
It together is that I don't think of the term fair. I think prefer. Because sometimes when we think of the word fair, it's like, oh my gosh, it's such a heavy burden.
It's so unfair.
Yes, and to prefer them. And do you know that those were actually designed to distribute the weight evenly so it would you could carry heavier children. And so if we distribute the weight evenly,
yes,
we each take up who God has put into our life to prefer, then we will grow as a body.
Yes. Amen. We are all, that's a great illustration, we are all ministers of body. That's why when you're not here, there's a bunch of people not here today. I don't feel right. I feel off. They're not here. Now, don't, you know, call Pastor Aaron and say, yeah, you weren't here and it made it all weird. No. I'm just saying, when you're not here, it throws things off because we're not like a family. We are a family. Now, we might be a bit dysfunctional because we're still growing, right? You know what I'm saying? But we are a family. And so we need you to grow in the church so that you can help bear the burdens of the week, especially in this body. I've noticed that people, when they come to this body, they are beaten up, abused, hurt, damaged, usually to the last straw. So it almost sometimes I think, this is my flesh now, okay? My flesh, I think, this is terrible, I don't even know if I should do this. Sometimes I think to myself, when I'm really feeling sorry for myself, I think, Lord, what's the point? They're already so angry, ticked, bad, hurt, damaged. It doesn't matter what I'm going to do. They're still going to end up being ticked off because all the other people have ticked them off. So by the time they come to me, they're just that's just going to happen. And he's like, okay, well, that might or that might not. But you're to please me. Do it anyway. And that's what he's saying to you. I need you. I can't handle this alone. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just following the Lord. I need you. We need you. That's not a pep talk. That's a reality talk. That's real.
Family needs each other.
Yep.
Family needs each other. It is really true. It's a good word. You remember Jesus in John 13, he was near the end of his ministry, you know, he went around and the disciples came in, they were having a Passover meal, and Jesus went around, their feet were all dirty and grungy, they had, you know, dirt roads at the time, and Jesus went in, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's God come down, incarnation of the flesh, and he comes down and he's like, I'm going to wash your feet of these disciples. And the disciples like, Peter's like, you know, big mouth Peter, sticking his foot in his mouth, he's like, oh, Lord, you can't wash my feet, you're the King, I can't let you do that. He's like, well, Peter, if I can't serve you in that way, then you know what? You can have no part of me. And then Peter, of course, is like, okay, then hose me down. Give me a shower. Do whatever you got to do. And then he said, after he washed all their feet, he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. And then the next verse that isn't there, verse 15, he says, let me try to remember. I have done this as an example so that you would follow it. Verse 2 goes on to say, each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. Okay, well that's kind of, okay, what does that mean? Each of us should please our neighbors? Wait a minute, you've always told us that we need to be pleasing the Lord, right? What does that mean? Each of us to please our neighbors. I remember you saying, Pastor Aaron, you said, Galatians 1:10, Paul said, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Well, then, what does that mean? Each one of us should please our neighbors. I think the answer is in that next sentence there. It says, for their good, to build them up. When you're people-pleasing, who are you really focused on? It's not really them. Who are you really focused on? Yourself, right? You want them to like you, right? You want them to accept you. You want them to think well of you, right? Even last night as I was doing this teaching, I was thinking to myself, you know, Lord, here's what I really want to do. I really want to just pick up one of my old kick-butt sermons that I did, you know, some years ago that people haven't heard in a while. I just want to do that one. It'd be so much easier. You know? And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, okay, well, who are you doing that for? Are you pleasing men? Or are you doing it to please people? Or are you doing it to please me? I said, both! telling you what I, that's how I talk to God. I'm like, bull. He's like, but I want you to hear this. So that means somebody needs to hear some of this. So I'm like, okay, God. Okay. He says, you should please, for their good. The goal is almost like the goal is Christ, right? It's not to have people think well of me. It's to help have people think well of the Lord. I need somebody who doesn't mind reading for a minute. It's fairly long. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 22. And who doesn't mind reading for a minute? Okay, Hanako, is that you raised your hand or is that
well,
to turn the page?
I have a Japanese Bible.
You can read it in Japanese. That'd be interesting. Does anybody, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19 to 22. Okay, there's a hand back there. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 9. I will in a minute, yeah. There's going to be another one in Luke chapter 4. But this one is 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 22. I'm sorry? Yeah, if you don't mind, or need to see it, that's fine. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 22. It's for their good, to build them up in Christ. That's the goal.
Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings.
That's good. So that's the purpose, is for the Lord. It's for the gospel. It's for their good. You know, and Elijah asked a good question. How do we know whether we correct their immaturity or their legalism, or we let it slide because of liberties? How do we know? And I want, Jesus did two different things. Someone else, go to Luke. I want to show you that Jesus did both. Sometimes he corrected things in Luke chapter 14, 1 to 4. Turn there with me, would you? Luke chapter 14, 1 to 4. And who has the microphone? Okay, somebody want to read? Okay. Hopefully this is the right address. Sometimes I write this down and then I think, oh wait, is that right?
14, 1 to 4?
I hope so.
One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts of the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way.
Okay, so in this case, Jesus chose to correct them and to heal them anyway. Right? Okay, so there are times where God's going to use you to correct someone's immaturity, to correct someone's legalism in love. There are times when that's going to happen. But there are also times, if you'll go to Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 to 27. I just want you to see, everybody likes a box. You know, we all want it to be just one way. You know, like I'm even thinking like Peter, you know, remember, Lord, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? And he's like, you know, no, 70 times seven. It's a principle I'm trying to impart to you, not a rule. We like the hard, fast rules. Sometimes he's trying to get a principle. It's Matthew chapter 17, 24 to 27. And since you have the microphone, somebody want to read? Okay, goodness.
After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collector of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?
You go one more. take this one more.
From others, Peter answered. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him.
Yeah. And then he went and paid the tax. So sometimes, you know, what he's saying is, whose temple is this? Whose temple tax? It was his, right? He's the son. He's the king's son. He's exempt from this tax. But he paid it anyway. It's like he laid aside his liberties. He's like, I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but I'm going to lay aside my liberties so I don't cause him to stumble. So then how do we know? Okay, how do we know? And the answer is simply our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. We want the nice little box so that you know exactly what to do in every situation. But that's not always what Jesus wants. Jesus wants a relationship with you. Everything's not cookie cutter. Sometimes you have to ask the Lord and seek the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? We saw that Jesus corrected that legalism and that immaturity in one spot, and another side he laid aside his liberties and he said, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to go with it. So this is the bottom line. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. He's that relationship within. He says, if anyone in James 1:5, any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That's how you tell the difference. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, in this particular situation, how do I handle this? And let him tell you, because it's not always going to be the same way. Excuse me. He goes on to say back in Romans 15:3, for even Christ did not please himself. And he's our example. Listen, Jesus wasn't just concerned about himself. He was concerned about others. And he said this to us. Listen to this. This is Philippians 2:6-8. He says, excuse me, I have 6-8, but it's actually 5-8. I wrote that down wrong. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So here's the King of Kings saying, hey, in your relationships with one another, I want you to be humble. I want you to be servant, especially. You're the strong one. You be humble. You lead them gently. You be patient. You be kind. You do it for me and my sake. Does that make sense, guys? Jesus said to the disciples when he was with the Samaritan at the well, you know, I'm not here to do my own will. He's like, they came back and said, Jesus, we got all this food for you. And Jesus said to them in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. You know, that's our food. He's not saying he didn't need food, right? He still had to eat. He was fully human, right? But he's saying, my nourishment, my food, I want to do his will, whatever he wants from me. Because he's the one I'm here to serve, right? He's the one I want to please. My God, right? That's why I'm still here. You have a mission. The mission isn't you. The mission's him. It goes on to say in verse 3, it says, for as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. And I just want to tell you, the same is true of you if you really live to serve Jesus. And you really live to serve others, the insults that fall on him are going to fall on you. That word in the Greek means accusations, insults, reproach. That's not a fun thing. I'm like the anti-self-gospel. I want you guys to know this is what it says, though. It's saying, listen, you want to follow Christ, I'm going to let you know people aren't going to like it. They're going to think you're in some whack cult or something. I'm not telling you to follow Home Fellowship Church. I'm not telling you to follow any denomination. I'm saying follow Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the one who bled and died for you to forgive all your sins, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. He is the one that's offering you everlasting life, even now. He's the one that died for you. In John 15, 18 to 21, he said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. It goes on to say, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. I never see that on a bumper sticker. You know? Or that Timothy verse, all those living godly lives will be persecuted. Woo! Hallelujah! You know? But that's the reality of it. If you're really following Christ, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be accused. If you're being humble and loving and kind, the more you do that, I hate to say it, because then I don't feel like when I'm in my flesh, I'm stomping my feet. I'm trying to be loving! And I'm getting the opposite! Then the Lord says, but didn't I do that for you when you were stomping your feet and when you were accusing me? Listen, Matthew 5, 11 through 12 says this, blessed. That means a recipient of God's divine favor. You are blessed, are you, when people insult you, when they persecute you, just what we were reading about, and they falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Not because you're acting like a knucklehead, Jesus says, because of me. He says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in that same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen, if you're getting treated that way, and you're getting hurt and angry, and I understand that, believe me, probably more than most people, I have to go back and I have to say, look what he says. He says, be glad, because great is my reward in heaven. It's coming. My hope isn't in this world, it's in what's coming. And I look at that, and I think, be glad, rejoice in it. How we handle that rejection is important, right? In that same little scenario that I talked about, they sent me another book text, and I just sent them, hi, love you, praying for you, something like that. I just kept it real short. But I think about how we handle it. When they see you handling that insult and persecution with joy, that's not normal. You can't do that without Jesus. That's supernatural. Who's going to be kind? Who's going to be nice to you when you're acting like a jerk? When somebody acts like a jerk to me, I want a bucket. You want a piece of meat? I'm going to come eat you twice as hard and see how you like me now. Yeah, you do. But that's not, it actually takes more strength for me not to say, to step back. You know, but he says, I want you to be glad. When people see that, they're like, what is it with you? Do you remember that song when you were a kid? I don't know if you remember this song. You got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. Okay, where? You guys remember that. All right, so this is a great song. So I looked it up online, and I thought about that. And then you got a peace that passes understanding, right, down in the depths of my heart. You know, I've got the wonderful hope of my blessed being ever down in the depths of my heart. Hey, okay, so think about that, joy, joy. No, there was a verse that I never knew was there. This is really true. Okay, you ready? You're not going to believe it either. Okay, the song you used to sing as a kid? I've got the happy hope that heckles heathens down in my heart. I never knew that was it. You don't sing that a lot. But you know, what is that? I got the happy hope. It is. I'm not kidding you. Oh, and
baffles boozers?
Yes, I've got the beautiful belief that baffles boozers down in my heart. But when you think about that, what Jesus is saying is, look, Jesus is saying, when all that gets heaped on you, everybody hits back harder, cut down more, I want you to do the opposite. I want you to bless. You're blessed when this happens. It's that happy hope that heckles heathens. It drives them crazy when you're nicer to them. Now, sometimes that inflicts more wounds. You know what I'm saying? But so don't do it to inflict wounds. I love you, brother. You know, make sure it's pure from your heart, but it's a happy hope that heckles heathens. You know what I mean? Okay, well. Lord.
Oh.
enough. Say stop. All right, so I'm going to leave it at that. Oh, there's a really great part I wanted to get to.
Do it.
And that's about the word, okay? So maybe the Lord has a different one. The folks come back, so come back next week. There is some really... What is that?
I paid for a full show.
Okay, sorry. Hey, I got some other stuff, honey. Don't you worry about nothing.
These are good seats.
I won't go through all of it. Let me just give you... Lord, okay, now. All right, let me just ask you this. Next week, we're going to go over verse 4, which is super important. And it just says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That word hope is elpis in the Greek. And it doesn't mean wishful thinking. It means solid, confident expectation. These things were written in the past. All the Word of God is written so that you would have confidence that you can see. Oh, there's so much I want to say. So come back next week. I want to encourage you in the Word of God. Does anybody have any closing comments that they would like to make? We'll run the microphone to you. If you do, we want to hear it. And if not, then we'll get together next week and we'll go over that stuff. Anybody have any comments they would like to make? Okay, over there. Thank you, so you can run the mic to it. With your blinding speed, look at that.
Okay. I just wanted to say, as you were saying that, it doesn't mean we're always going to be the stronger brother or always be the weaker brother. It's flip-flops. And so I know my life is a journey, and sometimes I'm the weaker brother, and sometimes I'm the stronger brother. And people that are in my life now, they have, by investing in them, have become stronger brothers, and we're walking side by side.
Yes. Good. And that's the fruit of that. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's a good word. Yes, Sue.
What Paul's trying to say is we should always be a loving brother or sister. Yeah. That, you know, he became like others. He walked in their shoes. He, as best he could, tried to figure out why they were hurting, how they were hurting, what they believe, why they believe. He didn't come from an attitude of let me show you what is right. He came from a place of I understand where you're at. Yeah.
And that's through humility, isn't it? You know? And genuine love. Not just take it or leave it stuff. Since so many churches. So don't you be like that. I can't control what anybody else does. I can't even control what you do. I barely control what I do. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's be that kind of a person. Let's strive to be the stronger brother, which is basically just the loving brother. Right? That's our heart. And that makes our Lord pleased. And that makes him known. Any other comments? Twice high, was that a bid? Okay, yeah. All right, let's close out in prayer. Father God, first we just want to say thank you, God, that you are so patient with us, Lord, that you have endured with us, Lord, that you have carried us through so much, Lord. We thank you that you humbled yourself to meet us right where each one of us were at, Lord. None of us would be here if it wasn't for you, Lord. You saved so many people here in this place, Lord. You saved prideful businessmen. You saved crack addicts. You saved adulterers. You saved people who are suicidal. You drug. You saved us all. The list just goes on and on, Lord, because you met us right where we're at, Lord. And so I thank you, Lord, for that. And I ask that you would help instill that same heart, Lord, of love and of humility and of servitude in each one of us, Lord God, that we would be here to serve one another and to love one another. And sometimes that will mean the correction, and sometimes that will mean letting it slide. But I pray that we will be seeking your Holy Spirit either way, Lord, that you would grant us instruction, Lord. We love you, and we ask that you would seal some of this stuff in our hearts and minds, even right now as we walk out of here, who we work for. We work for you, Jesus, the Son of the living God. And our reward comes from you. We love you and we bless you, and I ask that you bless this group this week, Lord God, as they go about their week, and all the folks who aren't here, Lord God, just be with them, heal them, encourage them, Lord God, right where they're at. We thank you for every person here, that we are a family. Knit us together in love and in unity. And bring us back next week, Lord God, to hear your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a super fantastic week.